You know, I could be the world's best marketer and generate a lot of leads and qualified leads. But if I don't have the system on the back end to be able to sign them up, and I'm sure you can attest to that too, it doesn't mean anything, right? It'll just be a leaking hole.
Hey, it's Sam Alai here, founder of My Legal Academy, where we help lawyers scale and automate their law firms so they could sign up more clients and reclaim their precious time. If you're looking to grow your practice while working less, click the link in the show notes to book a free call to discover a radically different way to grow your law firm. Enjoy the episode.
Mastering law firm intake, the secrets behind signing 1,000 clients a month. That's not hyperbole. That's how many clients I'm currently signing up across my 6 law firms. There's a lot that goes into signing up clients, as I've shared. And when it comes to marketing, there's 2 sides. One is generating qualified leads. And the second part is turning those qualified leads into clients, aka intake. And there's a lot that could be shared about the art and science of signing up more clients. In the last 10 years, I got a lot of experience with this. So what I had was, I had our COO, aka our intake manager, who manages the daily operations when it comes to signing up more clients, join me on a live session where we talked in detail about what it takes to sign up 1,000 clients per month. And we talked in detail about the tech stack that's required, aka the tools that we use to sign up 1,000 clients per month. We also talk about the main KPIs and the cadence of how many calls, how many texts, what we exactly what we do. And very importantly, the ideal intake team. There's a lot about exactly who you should hire, how you should manage them, how you should incentivize your intakers to sign up more clients. There's a lot of golden nuggets in here. And honestly, the people that take advantage of the listening and you listen through, you pay close attention to it, you will get a lot out of it. Hope you enjoy it. And yeah, I can't believe I'm sharing this, but enjoy it. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Mastering law firm intake, the secrets behind signing 1,000 clients per month. This is not a hyperbole. We've been doing this for at least 6 months. It's not often that you go from scaling up from 10 clients a month up to 1,000. Took a lot of work to get there. And it's not often that you get somebody who's done it to come and share the frameworks and the systems that we're currently doing across multiple law firms and sharing it with our own peers. I hope you guys take full advantage of it. If you guys do have other things open, I highly, highly suggest you guys minimize it, put it away. I promise nothing will trump the value that you'll get for the next hour. It will affect the amount of money that you make this year and for many, many years to come. So whatever it is, I hope the next hour, and I know it will be really valuable for you. All right. First of all, we always have a mix of people who have been following us for 5 or 6 years. And we also have a mix of people who are new. Who am I? I am somebody who loves disrupting things for the better. I'm an optimizer. When I see things, I see about how things get better. And I've been able to repeat the process of launching, scaling, and automating law firms over and over. I've done it across multiple law firms, dozens of law firms, but I currently actively own and run 6 law firms. Just a couple months ago, it was 4. We're back up to 6. And what that does is it gives me a lot of experience all at the same time, because each law firm has their own marketing. They have their own teams, they have their own systems, their own processes, their own issues with its own HR issues and all the things that come up. It compounds over time. So all these, you know, law firms at the same time, you know, give me a lot of good experience. 4 other law firms are multiple and 8 figures. We generated over 45,000 clients, if not more, over the last 10 years. Collected over 3,800 Google reviews for my first law firm. We currently generate 15,000 legal leads a month, which is a lot of leads, which gives us a lot of experience about not just generating leads, but more importantly, how to sign them up, which is the whole point of today. And what I'm most proud of is, this is not just for me. I love sharing. I love giving. This is just the nature of who I am. I've been able to pass off these proven systems to our members instead of our program called My Legal Academy. We have over 300 case studies, a lot of growth, a lot of success. And that's what drives me, you know, not just my own stuff, but seeing the results of our own members. And everything that we share is based on actual results. I'm not a marketing company. I'm not just sharing things about how, let me show you how I run my marketing company so you can apply the same things for your law firm. That doesn't make sense. I know the nuances of law. You know, I learn new practice types. I figure out the nuances of what it takes to market for it and to be able to collect the documents and collect all the stuff, all the nuances that it comes with actually growing a law firm. This is exactly what we share instead of My Legal Academy. Let me introduce Eamon. Eamon, I'll do the introduction for you. Sometimes it's kind of weird to talk about yourself, even though I just did it. Amen. Been a former officer in the Marines for 6 years. God bless you. Amen. That's very commendable. And not just that, you received the rank of captain. Amen. How many people become a captain in the Marines?
Oh, I was not ready to answer that question. I think like only 2% of the Marines are officers. Could be wrong about that. And then a lot of Marines get out, a lot of like lieutenants get out. So there's a big drop off to who hits captain. I stayed on as a captain for 2 years. So there's people that stay a lot longer than that, but you know, I stayed in for six.
Amazing. So top 2% of the finest, most disciplined, most structured, organized leaders in the world is here with us. Amen currently manages, and he's the CEO of six of our law firms. Manages 1,000 clients per month. And not just that, he's managing 140 different souls of intakers, intake supervisors, quality assurance people, marketing, project managers, business analysts, attorneys, document collectors, and middle managers. And if there's people that I interact with Amen type the most, essentially my directors, but Amen is the one who's managing the managers and then everybody else that comes under them. And Amen, what is your life motto and why is that your life motto?
Get shit done. I mean, Sam, you know, I like to just get stuff done as, you know, fast and efficiently as possible. I like to share that with my team. I don't like things just hanging out for weeks and, you know, months at a time. You know, if we got to do something, we're going to do it. We're going to do it fast and efficiently. So
and we do it instantly. There's no waiting. There's no later in the day. We're like literally everything that we talk about, it's already being delegated, passed off, done as we do it. So, and that's what we also try to drive to our members is that instant kind of action that we take. All right. And just want to put it out there. Do have a YouTube channel. If you guys are not following us, follow us there. We also have a podcast called The Law Entrepreneur, sharing a lot of value. So definitely, I hope you're enjoying the ride. You've been with us and we're not stopping. We've been doing this for decades to come and we're grateful to have you. All right. So when it comes to intake, the experience that we got across scaling our first law firm all the way down to the sixth law firm, we learned that intake is a very systematic approach. Essentially, it's the same protocol that we're doing over and over. And over time, me and Amen started picking up on the signs of what it takes, what type of cadence, what type of systems, team structure, the tools, all that stuff. And I started keeping track of those things. And I'm usually the one that kind of puts these Google Sheets and stuff together. So we created this first original version of the MLA intake conversion evaluation, which was a very comprehensive list of all the things that we look for to be able to optimize our members' intake systems. And what we did was, I realized that this might be a little bit too detailed. Why don't we consolidate all the information and make it very digestible and 80-20 essentially. And that's what the worksheet that you have in front of you is. This is a 80-20 of what it takes to be able to optimize your intake. You accomplish these, or most of these, you're ahead of 99% of law firms. And it really, really does make a difference because without a good intake and without Amen doing what he does, we would not be signing up 1,000 clients a month. It takes really good intake to make it happen. You know, I could be the world's best marketer and generate a lot of leads and qualified leads, but if I don't have the system on the back end to be able to sign them up, and I'm sure you can attest to that too, it doesn't mean anything, right? It'll just be a leaking hole. So I cannot stress how important this next 1 hour is. So let's go to the document. And what I did was I made it a placeholder. Placeholder's in there because I want you to follow along. So again, put everything away. I mean, this is not being shared anywhere else. Let's get the most of it. So there's three things we're going to touch upon, which is the first one is tech stack, basically the tools that you need to make this happen. Number two is the KPIs, the numbers that we look for. And the cadence, basically how frequently are we looking to contact our leads? And third is the team and the infrastructure to make it happen. So let's start off with the tech stack. Me and Amen have consolidated down to 5 necessary tools to make it happen. The first one obviously is a CRM. So Amen, let's take it away. What CRM do we use and how do we use it?
So we use HubSpot, and we use HubSpot to track the full case life cycle. The benefits of having a CRM like HubSpot, it is a little bit more robust, but you have like the reporting that you can see. You can see exactly what your return on investment is for the money you're spending in marketing and how those cases are moving through the pipeline. You can get a lot of valuable insights from that. everything from how long does it take to sign a case on average? How long does it take for a case to get monetized on average so that you can do some longer term planning? For HubSpot, you know, or a CRM like it, like Salesforce, which is a little bit more expensive than HubSpot, you know, you really want to have six or more intakers to start thinking about that. Five or fewer intakers, definitely the Legal Funnel CRM that My Legal Academy has is perfect to get the job done and do some of that reporting as well.
Great. So it depends on the number of intakers. Just want to stress this. HubSpot, on the other hand, just keep it, have in mind, it's very robust. It takes a lot of implementation. And what I've seen is most law firms don't have the capability and don't have the implementers to set up these backend workflows and these systems. So one of the benefits of being inside of My Legal Academy is we white labeled a very popular and proven CRM called Go High Level. And we built all the workflows, all the systems, and we systematized the onboarding and the implementation that any law firm who has less than five intakers or so in the law firm, we basically have the system to be able to onboard you into this CRM, set up all your workflows for you, setting up all your settings and different things that's required for a good optimized automated CRM. So the first fill in, Legal Funnel CRM. Second thing, Eamon, whatever you want to set up inside the CRM.
So you want to set, like you said, a bunch of workflows, text, emails, automations. The most important one is to start sending out your booking links, whether that's via Calendly or some other platform. You want to send out booking links to a lead immediately when they come into your system. If a lead books a call with one of your team and you show up to the call or your team shows up to the call, I see on average a 90% show rate from the leads. Whereas if you look at across 15,000, 20,000 leads, the contact rate without a booking link or a meeting link is, you know, closer to 5%. So obviously a huge jump in show rate when you're getting your leads to book a call with you, have the reminders, you know, going to remind them they're booking a call on their time. They didn't just fill out a form and went back to work and you're calling them. So the number one thing is get those meeting links automated and sent out.
Great. So setting up workflows to make sure automatically the prospects receive a booking link to go book a call right away. And then we also want to create automated texts and emails for unresponsive prospects. We'll go into more detail about this later on about the cadence of this. This is done via workflows. Both Legal Funnel CRM or HubSpot, or most CRMs have an automation aspect, which is as soon as a new lead becomes a lead, go ahead and send these series of emails and texts. What to say in these emails and texts, we'll get into later. But the most important part is the fact that texts and emails are being sent to new leads and at a regular cadence as they become older and older. And once they have also different lead statuses, which we'll talk about. Eamon, about this one, what do you want to build?
So for the dashboards or the automated texts and emails?
For the dashboard, yes.
Dashboard, yeah. All right, dashboards to track the progress of your leads. So you want to be able to see how many leads you have in what stage of your pipeline, right? So you want to see how many new leads you have that need to be called. You want to see how many leads that you haven't talked to yet, but aren't new. We call those contact unsuccessful or contact unresponsive. Those are the ones that you want to be paying attention to with your intake team to get them on the phone and to drive them to a conclusion. You want to be able to also see people that might not qualify, people that do qualify, but they need to maybe get more documentation, things like that. You can gain a lot of valuable insights off of a dashboard showing all your different lead statuses, how many leads are in what, you know, break it down by time periods as well. You know, this week we did really well. What did we do differently than last week where we did really poorly? All those types of insights can help take your intake team to the next level and can also feed back into your marketing team and your litigation team to see, you know, how many cases are coming down the line to litigation. Where can you spend your money better on marketing? All those types of insights can be facilitated via some solid dashboards.
Amazing. So now the question is, how do we get the leads inside of our CRM? Eamon?
Zapier, the best way to get your leads directly from the lead form into your CRM. I'm sure many of you that are in My Legal Academy know about Zapier. Zapier is great. You can take information from one place and put it into another place. That other place is your CRM. In addition to that, you can set up notifications via Zapier into your internal communication channel. Hey, we got a new lead. Intaker number one, hey, we just got a new lead. Call it now. Or, hey, team, we just got a sign up. Look at that. You know, Zapier can be used to generate those types of notifications and just kind of be the duct tape that keeps your whole operation together.
Amazing. And just making sure that we set up Slack notifications for new leads and new signups. Okay. We'll talk about Slack shortly, but we want to make sure that our team is notified every time a big event happens, which for us, it's a new lead and a new signup. The corresponding teams need to be notified right away because there's stuff that needs to be done at that moment. So that is Slack right here. Eamon, how about phone system?
All right. So phone systems, the most important thing when it comes to your phone system is you want it to integrate with your CRM. So I have my preference in phone system with HubSpot, which is the phone system Alloware. It's a soft phone system. It does outbound calling, inbound calling, texts, etc. That can all be integrated directly into HubSpot so that if one of your intake teams is looking at a lead in HubSpot, they can just click call directly from the CRM. It's super important for phone systems to have their own internal reporting as well. You want to have daily metrics on how many calls are being conducted, how many inbound calls are being received and missed. What's your average handle time throughout your firm? Like average handle time is the average time somebody's on the phone with another person. So those key KPIs need to be able to be drawn from your soft phone system. So Alloware is great for all of that. Not every soft phone system works with every CRM. So I know Sam has a great soft phone that works really well with LegalFunnel and some other CRMs.
All right. So to recap for our phone system, if you're five or less intakers, usually you want an easy to use, easy UI kind of platform that doesn't require that much implementation. You could probably set up within 5 minutes. For that, it's been 3 years. I've suggested OpenPhone. It still turned out to be the correct recommendation. So if you're five or fewer intakers, OpenPhone is most likely the answer. And if you get really, you know, you're scaling, you have six or more intakers, and you're really growing, then you wanted to look into Alloware. We've been using it for some of our law firms for over 7 years. We're actually part of the beta testers, and it's what we use right now. And then we want to make sure, obviously, as Eamon explained, integrate your phone system with your CRM to make sure it's all interconnected. And we use a KPI dashboard to keep track of the daily calls and average talk time, which we'll talk about in shortly. Let me take this one, Eamon. Slack. It was something that I suggested about 6-7 years ago that I realized that every law firm needs Slack. Okay. Not anything else. I still strongly support and recommend Slack. Every law firm needs it. It's a way for your team to be able to communicate with each other, and it allows you to create Slack channels for different departments. And these Slack channels act as your different divisions or departments in your law firm. So yeah, you're going to have a Slack channel for intake. You're going to have one for document collection, your filings, your integration setup, your settlements. Or if you're doing marketing, you know, for Facebook ads, whatever that you achieve on an ongoing basis, you want to have its own ecosystem of its own team members and its own managers, and you being in every single one of those Slack channels so that your internal team is communicating and interacting with each other to accomplish their main KPIs. It's a must for every law firm. Any words about this, Eamon?
I mean, I would just echo everything you said. I have, for the six law firms, each has their own Slack channel. I mean, it's critical to how I'm able to manage the team that I manage. It's also critical for the teams to be able to run by themselves and grow by themselves. It's just the best internal communication tool. I know there's some other ones out there, but I've been on Microsoft. I've used like even RingCentral's version of this, of Slack. Slack just is hands down better. It can integrate with more things. You can also integrate with external contractors and vendors and stuff like that. You can bring different people into your ecosystem. It's super versatile and it's great. Couldn't say anything bad about it.
Totally. Ilana asks, what do you think of Zoom chat instead of Slack? It operates in a very similar way. So Ilana, you don't want to just say a tool that just is just for chat. What Slack offers is integrations for automations that, let's just say, as soon as a new lead comes in, it's able to notify your intake team, let's just say. If something else happens, a DocuSign gets signed, automatically does that. And there's a lot of other integrations that are useful. There's AI bots in there that does automatic things. And also it kind of has a kind of like a team kind of feeling, right? You're part of something. People are interacting on an ongoing basis. Even when you're on vacation, you know, things are happening. Highly suggest it. And the last one is AI solutions. Let me take this one if you don't mind, Eamon. AI solutions, when ChatGPT came out, I started asking myself, and we actually asked our members, you know, how do you imagine AI being applied to our law firms? And out of everything that AI could help with, I realized that AI will help a lot, the most with intake. So I started focusing in on that, essentially on an intake AI solution about how can AI text our leads to, one, get in contact with leads, number two, qualify leads, number three, maybe AI can book your prospects with a booking link, or number four, ideally use AI to even get clients signed up, like the ultimate. And this we've been doing for the past 2 years, and we've learned a lot from this experience. Again, it does all those things for you. Gets in contact, qualifies, books people on a meeting, and even signs them up if you set it up right. And this is something that we've been internally offering to our members little by little for people that are ready. Obviously, they need to have enough leads for this to make sense. And we've been setting up these intake AI solutions inside of Legal Funnel CRM. Again, not our product, just a proven product that we just take and we set up for other law firms. And it's proved to be fruitful. Eamon, can you talk about what percentage of our clients right now are right now being signed up with AI and how it's helping us?
So for one of our firms, 100% of clients are being touched by AI. And then we have a split throughout a couple of the other firms. So I'll talk about that one firm. As soon as a lead form is filled out, the AI is reaching out via text and voice. And what it's doing is doing a light qualification and then passing it off to an intaker to complete the sign up. We are actually looking at possibly having the AI sign in some very obvious situations as well. And then for another group of our firms, we simply have an initial text going out via AI. And if a conversation is started, the AI will do a light version of qualification and then book a meeting with the potential client onto the intaker's calendar. That results in about 50% of the signups for that group of firms.
Amazing. So it's real. Right now, we're like internally just going through all the optimization, all the different things, all the different tools, all the different prompts, all the revisions, all the issues that we're currently dealing with. And as a beta, we're basically just setting this up for our members first, and we're learning from that experience. All right, so we have covered tech stack. Again, let me just quickly go through the answers. So make sure you guys have the answers. And again, the link for this worksheet should be in the chat. I really recommend Legal Funnel CRM if you have less than 5 intakers, if not HubSpot. We want to set up workflows to send the intro text with booking links. We also want to create automated texts and emails for unresponsive prospects. And we build a dashboard to track each prospect's status. Go ahead and start, please, checking off if you're currently have these implemented. Which of these do you have implemented? Okay, do you have a CRM? If so, go ahead and check that off. Number two, do you have workflows? Are you sending automated texts and emails to unresponsive prospects? And number four, do you have a dashboard to keep track of every prospect status? Go ahead and fill that on your worksheet. This will be useful because we want to know where you currently are and what we have to work on. Same questions. Do you currently have Zapier set up for your law firm? Do you have you set up Slack notifications to notify your intakers whenever there's a new lead and signups? For phone system, do you have a phone system? Have you integrated with your CRM? Do you have a KPI dashboard to keep track of daily calls and average talk time? Do you have Slack set up? Do you have Slack channels set up for each department? And the last one, have you set up any intake AI solution to help you with intake? What I want you to do is tally it up, see how many check marks you have, and put that number on your worksheet. And also, please share with us that number in the chat before we continue. We want to see this number from everybody. We want to make this engaging and valuable. All right, what's your score so far for your tech stack? Candace has 6. Candace says, does Legal Funnel have an optimized dashboard that aggregates data? That makes sense. Sometimes dashboards aren't informative unless optimized. Yes, it does, Candace. Yes, it does. Absolutely. So Ivana, 9. Amazing. Amy, 1. Frank, 9. Edgar says, can we use AI for Legal Funnel? Yes, absolutely. That's the way actually that we set up intake AI for our members. We do have it via Legal Funnel CRM. Thomas, 2. Chris Gold, 8. Amazing, Chris. John, 5. Vicky 2-2-7. Garrett says open phone for the win. Amazing. Chris 6-11-12. Amazing, Shannon. Nice. Amazing. 8-2. Grant 2. Dijul 6. Wilson 5. 8-8. Nice. Okay. And the link to the intake conversion. There you go. If anybody doesn't have it yet. Okay, great. So we have that. Okay, great. Very good. And we do have some poll answers. Let's actually go through the answers right now too. Or maybe we'll go to that at the end. Yeah, we'll save it at the end. We'll go through the answers and you guys should compare yourself. We asked about how many clients do you sign up per month? What's your biggest challenge with intake? It's good to see where everybody stands. In comparison, you can see where you stand, and we'll share those insights with you as well. So let's just keep it going. Amen. Second thing we want to talk about is the KPIs, the key performance indicators, and the cadence, aka how often do we hit up our leads, which is crucial. Amen. In our experience, have found out that 99.9% of law firms miss this completely. And the way we operate, I mean, at this point, is just KPIs all day long, right? Most of what we do is just numbers. From the very top, we have a very intense internal Google Sheet that we keep track of everything, starting off with how much are we spending on marketing, to how many leads, what's our cost per lead, how many qualified leads, what's our cost per qualified lead, how many signups, what's our cost per acquisition, what's our conversion rate, how many documents are we collecting, how many filings are we doing, you know, how many demands have you sent out? How many settlements have you received? How many of your, that's outstanding? All that stuff, everything in detail for every law firm. But the most important part is the KPIs when it comes to intake. So let's talk about that. What do we want to track, Eamon?
All right. I cannot stress this first one enough. I've talked to a ton of different law firms and people have a very interesting take on this number. And usually it's way too low what attorneys think is an acceptable a number for this first KPI. What I'm talking about is how many calls are your intakers making on a daily basis? I've heard some law firms say, 35 calls, 50 calls, 60 calls a day is a good number. I'm telling you, unless if they are on the phone for like 4 hours during that day, 60 calls, you know, you could do that. I could make 60 calls in 20 minutes if nobody picks up. So I would just caution you guys all to really think about what that KPI should be for the amount of calls that your team should be making daily. It should be probably 100 plus if they're fully dedicated to intake, document collection, any client-facing role should be 100 plus. If it's not 100 plus, you know, they should be averaging, 3 hours on the phone, 4 hours on the phone a day. Okay. And that leads right into the next thing. What's the average amount of time they're on a call? So average talk time per call. And you want to also break that down by what types of calls that the intakers are doing. Let me explain that. So if your intaker's on a phone call that's going to sign up a client, great. That should probably be around 30 minutes. If it's a fully optimized intaker, depending on what your practice type is and what that process looks like. But if the call is, you know, clearly a not qualified lead, should not be 30 minutes. It should be closer to 5 minutes because the intaker should get to the point, figure out whether the lead's qualified or not, and then kindly, you know, move on. So depending on what type of call it is, there should be a different average talk time per call. And then you want to also look at the intakers or document collectors or whatever the individual is. You want to look at how much time they're spending on the phone in a day. So I tell my intakers, if you're doing 100 calls a day, you should be at least on the phone, you know, for 2.5 hours. So that's how you can start to tell, are they working the whole day? Are they just hanging out, going to the break room, or doing other things that are unproductive? Sam, any questions on that? Or should I keep going?
Yeah, so just to recap, we want to track the number of calls made by each intaker daily. Okay, as nuanced as that. Okay, very nuanced, but it's just not about the quantity, but also you want to know what's their talk time per call, and aim and give you some guidance about exactly around how much that makes sense. And obviously we want to track the number of signups, obviously, right? On a daily, weekly, monthly basis, anybody who's involved with intake, what are you doing? Obviously, right? And we break that down. There's a lot of stuff about goals and incentives. We could probably talk about that during the Q&A section. it's crucial that it, again, needs to be very clearly explicit of this is the number of clients that each intaker is signing up that day. And there needs to be a goal attached to that, which again, we'll talk about. And let's talk about the conversion rate. Eamon, go ahead and take this.
All right, conversion rate, super important. Probably one of the most, if you're going to pick one KPI for the intake department, it's the conversion rate. Like Sam said, you also need to absolutely track how many signups you're getting on whatever time period works for your firm. But the conversion rate is something that you also need to be paying very close attention to. If you can score leads as qualified when they come through the door from marketing, the best way to track conversion is what percent of those qualified leads are being signed up. At that level where you can grade leads as qualified or not, you can simply do this based off of how many retainers are sent and how many retainers are closed. That's another way to look at this metric. But the conversion rate is key to seeing the health of the intake department. If you're not at 30% or more in conversion rate, you've got some work to do somewhere. I've got to tell you, most firms that I've seen are below 10% when it comes to conversion rate. And you're just leaving your marketing dollars on the table if you're not fully diving in and optimizing this. Sam and I have had firms that have touched 40% conversion rate, which the jury's out if you can get much higher than that. But 30% is a super helpful or a super healthy range to be in.
Amazing. As we noticed, we didn't set signups over a number of leads because we realized over time that marketing's job is to generate qualified leads. So that became the main metric that we hold our marketing to, number of qualified leads that we generate on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And then when it comes to the intakers, we care about how many signups did you have over the qualified leads. And a lot of times, when people join our program, they launch ads. And then after 2 or 3 weeks, they're like, this doesn't work. And I'm like, every time it happens, I'm like, what are your numbers? And became a regular cadence with our program. It's like, what are your numbers? You can't just go to a doctor and be like, doctor, my head hurts. Or like, I'm in pain. And, you know, he's going to start asking you questions. So the number one thing to look for is just the numbers. Give me your numbers. And let me just lay this out because it's very important. And I don't want anybody missing this. The numbers that we look for is this. How much did you spend in marketing? How many leads did it generate? What's the cost per lead? How many qualified leads did it generate? And what's your cost per qualified lead? We look for these metrics to know, okay, let's just say we spent $5,000, generated 100 leads. Our cost per lead was, let's just say $50. It generated 50 qualified leads. Our cost per qualified lead is, let's just say 100. And you signed up one client. And then somebody comes and says, marketing didn't work. And I'm like, no, marketing worked. Because you got a cost per qualified lead of $100, which is actually pretty decent and pretty good. You just happen to sign up one out of 50 clients. So your conversion rate is 2%. So it's not your marketing, it's your intake that's hurting here. And that's the reason why you think the marketing doesn't work. And this happens to be the main key right here. Bam. You need to be able to know these numbers to the T, exactly what's going on. And that's what we hold the intake team to. And every day, amen, right? We have a cadence. We have a group text chat. And I'm actually looking at it right now. Every morning, since about a year ago, we have our directors. Amen comes and shares the number of signups that we have month to date over divided by a number of qualified leads that we generated this month. And then we have a conversion rate. So we're looking at those three key metrics, number of signups divided by number of qualified leads and a conversion rate. And then our marketing team comes in. Our marketing director comes in and shares, we got this many qualified leads from this source, this many qualified leads from this source, and this source. And then that becomes their key focus. Okay, number of qualified leads is low today from this source. What's going on there? You know, let's go optimize that. And we watch these metrics like a hawk on a daily basis to make sure that every department is doing their thing. The marketing team is generating enough qualified leads. The intake team is signing up enough of the qualified leads. Anything you want to add to this, Eamon, before we move on?
Yeah, I would just say, there's more KPIs than this, but all the KPIs, at least for the intake department, lead directly into what that conversion rate is. So if your conversion rate is low, you're likely suffering in another key performance indicator. And if you're tracking everything, then you know exactly where you need to go. You know the levers you need to pull to be able to increase that conversion rate.
I mean, Zach asks, can you mark a lead as qualified solely from the lead form, or you only mark it as a lead as a qualified when you speak to them over the phone or book the call?
Yeah, so that's why I gave the two different versions of measuring this. It depends on the practice type. If you can get enough information from your lead form that you can say, hey, in a perfect scenario, if there's, you know, these five questions are answered in this way, you know, there's a high likelihood that this person could sign up. If there's, you know, something not on the lead form is not an issue, then you can do that. And most practice types can do that. I know there are some that are a little more nuanced. You might not be able to, but if you think about it hard enough, you can probably figure out a way to qualify the leads based on the questions that you're asking in your lead form.
Let's talk about cadence, Eamon. What is that cadence?
All right. So the cadence, I think, is one of the most important things that people get wrong. If you're not tracking your numbers, you're not going to be able to call leads in the right time frame. If you can call a lead within the first 5 minutes of them filling out a form, you are 300% more likely to sign up that lead up as a client. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. Obviously, people who need an attorney might go and fill out a couple lead forms. So speed to lead is obviously super important. But there's also the aspect of a client or a potential client having the feeling that your law firm is competent and on top of it. So it's super important to get to the lead within the first 5 minutes. That's why the automatic texts are great, especially with the booking links. But being able to call them within that first 5 minutes, ideally within the first 1 or 2 minutes, is also super important because they probably just finished filling out your form and are more likely to pick up then. Now, on day one, it says make 3 calls. And I'm going to caveat that if somebody fills out a form in the evening, you know, probably not calling them 3 times. That's probably not appropriate. But if somebody fills it out earlier in the day, getting them 3 times on that first day is a great way to increase your overall contact rate. If somebody fills it out in the morning, you call them in the morning, you call them over lunch, you call them in the evening, you try to call them in times where they might not be working. And then after that, you want to roll into 2 calls per day, alternated times. All right. And when you're sending calls, if you're not getting them on the phone, you want to leave a voicemail, you want to send a text, you want to probably send an email as well. But from days 2 through 5, 2 calls a day, alternating time, so you can try to figure out when that person, you know, might not be busy. And then after that, days 6 through 14, it's best to go once a day. You want to ratchet down that time because, I mean, you spam them for the first 5 days. You want to be a little bit less spammy. Hopefully their issue, you know, hopefully their issue gets better. But if it doesn't get better, then they're more likely to pick up at that 14-day mark. And then after that, you want to do alternated calling, texting, and emailing. So maybe one day you call, maybe one day you text, one day you email. And depending on your practice type, you can still see a lot of cases get signed after that 14-day mark. For some of the practice types that Sam and I do, we have people sign up after being unresponsive for 6 months. So continuing to follow up with people is super important because a lot of times they're busy. You know, life happens, you know, they need a lawyer, but they might not need a lawyer right away. So continuing to be on these leads, continuing to call them, continuing to text them, continuing to email them is going to keep you top of mind. And then, you know, the sheer persistence will set you apart from some other law firms that you might be competing with.
Absolutely. So some good questions coming in. How would you hold the team accountable to make the calls daily? We'll go into this in detail in part 3. So hold that thought. Eamon, Ted asks, what's the latest you will call on an evening shift?
On an evening shift, you can't call after 9 via the new TCPA. So like anywhere 8:30, I think is okay. That's different if somebody calls in. You probably want somebody to be able to pick up those inbound calls, but I wouldn't call anybody after 9 p.m. local time.
Yeah. And again, let me just add the nuance. There's a lot more to these things and a lot more things that we do, but we 80-20 the top ones. But if there was probably one more I would add to this, Eamon, is something that we brought up in our videos, which is calling during off hours, you know, after between 5 to 9 p.m. and also on weekends. We want to quickly just address that about weekends and after 5 p.m. calls, because I've seen a lot of law firms don't do that. It's also a really good opportunity.
Yeah, if you're not calling after 5 p.m. and if you're not calling on the weekends, you're leaving money on the table, just pure and simple. The best time to sign clients is after 5 p.m. Obviously, it's because people are getting off work, they're in their commute home. That is the best time by far to get people on the phone. So 5 to 9. And then if you don't have people working Saturday and Sunday, you're just leaving a whole nother 48 hours on the table. We have full shifts Saturday, Sunday for all of our firms. And we sign clients. You don't sign as many clients as the biggest days in the week, but you're still signing a significant amount of clients on the weekends. And then the bulk of the clients we sign on a daily basis are after 5 p.m.
Amazing. And really good questions are coming in. And let's just address one more. How many form questions would you recommend in order to avoid spam and increase quality? This is my world. This is the world that I'm obsessed with. If anybody on my team knows about the optimization of our form questions, essentially it comes down to a couple of best practices that I'll share with you. Number one is it has to be multiple choice questions. So ideally not any text answers. If you really have to ask a text answer, just know your conversion rates is going to drop. So if you really have to ask, and sometimes you do have to ask, just know, again, it's a give and take kind of game. That's number one. Number two is you start off with simple problem-based questions, whatever that means to you. I could talk about in detail later, but just that's the main thing to have in mind. Number three is optimize your options. Your options should disqualify people, obviously, but also should help you tell you which of these leads are going to be your best leads. And number four is the questions should be very simple, question-based, short questions. Don't overcomplicate. Don't ask private questions. You know, don't ask questions that requires more than 1 second of thinking. It should be one of those quick answer kind of things. And number five is don't ask too much upfront. You know, qualification, you should usually be in two types, kind of like pre-screening, I would call it, which is done on the marketing side. And then you have the full-on qualification that's done by the intaker. You want to kind of use the pre-screening marketing qualification to kind of weed out a good percentage and then have your intake team, you know, sort out the rest. And I found a lot of times people miss that part. And, you know, I've seen some really good marketing, but really bad qualification. And I know just because of that qualification, they're like leaving 50% of the money on the table just because they haven't optimized that part. So that part is kind of crucial. So before we move on, all right, so go ahead and give yourself a score. Let me just quickly give the answers again for people that just joined us. We have 175 people here, which is amazing. We want to track the number of calls made daily. We also want to track the average talk time per call. And we also want to obviously track the number of signups. So do you track those? If you do, amazing. If you don't, no worries. I would say 90% of law firms probably don't. Do you also track the conversion rate? And do you monitor these metrics on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? And we're not saying this as a formal exaggeration. We really mean it. Are you really daily know exactly how many, you know, of these signups are you getting? How many, you know, how many calls are your intakers making? All that stuff. Do you know this? So go ahead and check those off. And also your cadence. Are you keeping up with what it takes? I know, you know, out of 10 leads, you know, for a good percentage of those leads, you're going to have some angry prospects potentially. Yes, we know that. But usually, if you want to be successful, you do have to take some form of aggressive approach, you know, and we always, it's optimal where we want to be. This is not too much. It's just about right, right? So this we found to be crucial. Again, the first 5 minutes, making 3 calls per prospects on day one, making 2 calls from day 2 to 5, and then making 1 call per day per prospect from day 6 to 14. So we call for 14 weeks and then alternative days after day 15. If you follow this cadence or somewhere even more, you know, either equal or more than that, amazing. Go ahead and check that off and go ahead and write that score down. And please share with us in the chat, what is that number for you? And we'll continue once we get a good number of you giving us those numbers. Ken, this is 7.
Sam, I'm gonna yeah. Just share something groundbreaking really please. Quickly. Just so you guys know, there is a direct correlation to how many calls you make to how many people pick up the phone and talk to you. So I know that might not be as groundbreaking as I led it on to be, but the more calls you make, the more people you're gonna talk to.
Absolutely. All right, so 5 from Frank, 7 from Adam, Chris 7, Eric 6, Michael 4, Candice 2, Zach 4. You still need a lot more. Don't be afraid, engage with us. This is for you. And we'll be giving you again your insights about our poll answers also. Should be very useful for all of us. So we know what we need to focus on. AirPool 4, Candice 2, Amy 4. Okay. Seems like an average of 4.2 in my head right now. Feels like good. Okay. Okay. A lot of fours. 4, 4, 8. Okay. All right. Let's go to the third section, which is the ideal intake team. Me and Amin have been through so many different variations of this, so many different versions, different number of intakers, different structure, how they're managed, who's, you know, how it works with different structures. So let's go through that. So let's talk about the ideal team structure. Amin.
All right. So when it comes to the best structure, just generally speaking, you want to have your intakers into 2 to 3 groups. You want your best intakers touching your best leads. You want your next group of intakers that are following the leads after that. And then you want your newest intakers or your worst intakers, but the ones that you hope to improve to move up to those first and second teams. You want them backtracking the older leads. So the most important thing is to have your best intakers calling the best and freshest leads. You'll get the most signups that way.
And it's very nuanced. I don't think that many people do this, right? You know, think about your best leads and then giving it to your best intakers. But that little gap right there makes probably 15%, maybe 20% boost to your conversions right then and then just by doing that. And that means 20% more signups, means 20% more revenue, which means 20%, you know, more money in your pocket. So great.
It's also motivation for the intakers. They want to get to the top team. You can give that team, you know, extra perks as well. We see that over 50% of the signups from any given firm all come from the top team, some as high as 65-70%. So the top intakers are going to sign the most clients for you.
Amazing. And this one, having new intakers following up on older leads, can you talk about older leads? What's our protocol with older leads?
Yeah, that after that 14 or maybe it's 30 days, depending on how you set things up in your practice type, you want to have people backtracking on those leads. You're going to get less of a conversion on those, but you will get the ones that 6 months later, they come and sign up, depending on your practice type. You'll also talk to people a couple months down the line, or maybe a month down the line, or whatever the case may be, that are unhappy with their current firm and want to leave it because they've fumbled the initial stages of their case. And then you'll also talk to people who may have thought they had an issue, then the issue came back, you're still following up with them, they talk to you, they sign up. Or, hey, they don't have that issue anymore, but they know a friend that has that issue, now let's get a referral from that. So following up, I have people following up, you know, depending on the practice type, to like over a year since the lead first came in. And we sign those cases up, you know, at obviously a lower clip than the newer leads, but we're still signing cases from those 30 days plus, you know, 6 months plus leads.
Amazing. A couple of questions in the chat regarding the multiple choice questions. Should they be on the landing page or in the actual ad? Pedro, I'll just give you the short answer. Usually your pre-qualification screening questions are going to be in 3 different places. Either 1 on your landing page, number 2 on your Facebook lead forms or TikTok lead forms. If you don't know what that means, that means probably need help on marketing. And number 3 on your Calendly or booking questions. That's the best place to ask your pre-screening questions. Amin, question for you. Do you see a conversion difference when intakers have an accent?
That's an interesting question because some of our best intakers have an accent. So I guess you can get away with an accent if you have really good sales skills and the accent is not affecting how the understanding of what you're trying to communicate to the client. But then again, if they don't have great sales skills, they don't have a mastery of the subject matter, and you know the accent is preventing them from effective communication, then yeah, it's probably going to be a detriment. But I wouldn't say an accent is a deal breaker. It's much more in the sales skills and the product knowledge than how they sound.
Yeah. And a couple of good other questions. Zach also says, does the platform form still work? Quality has been bad the last 3-4 months. Yes, Zach, they absolutely do work. There's always things that could be done about it, and we could go into more detail once we troubleshoot you personally, set our program. But let's move on. Intake supervisor. Let's talk about what's an intake supervisor and why do we need one, Amin?
All right. So if you are starting your law firm and you have a couple intakers and you're able to manage what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, you probably don't need a supervisor. But the moment that you can't spend a good portion of your day looking at the intaker's KPIs, listening to intakers' calls, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to do, doing everything that we outlined before us, you're going to need a supervisor to manage that team for you, to supervise that team. And as your team grows, you're going to need more supervisors. We have one firm where we have three supervisors and a manager. So as you add people, you add sophistication, you're going to need middle management leadership to be able to herd the team in the right direction. Yeah. So in a nutshell, as soon as you can't manage the team, you need a supervisor.
How many intakers per intake supervisor?
That's a tough question to answer. So here's how I do it. I don't like assigning six intakers to one supervisor and then they only report to that supervisor. I typically like to have supervisors working on shifts. So one supervisor is in at the start of the shift and another supervisor gets in halfway through and finishes the shift. And then they alternate like what day they're working on the weekends. That way there's always somebody in leadership there. And then you can have a larger team, you know, 20, 30, 40 intakers, as long as there's a supervisor and some quality control there to manage the leads, watch the KPIs, and make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. The supervisor's main goal is to make sure people are being as productive as possible.
And you always, the way that I see this also is law firms, if you have a mentality of, oh, our team is good, then you don't have a good team. I mean, we should talk about this because we deal with this, right? Oh, I have the best intake. And I'm like, as soon as we hear that, we're like, oh God, how bad is it? And it shows that you have no idea. Because if you had an idea, you wouldn't say that, first of all. And two, you would say, you know, we got a lot of work to do. And you don't, and a lot of times, you know, if you don't have somebody overseeing and actually listening in, and we'll talk about the next one, quality assurance, listening in on these calls, then you have no idea how bad some of these calls could be taken. And again, you may be blaming your marketing when the issue is actually your intake. So let's talk about that. That's actually a good segue to quality assurance. What does quality assurance do?
So quality assurance is simply put, listening to the calls to make sure what you want your law firm to be projecting out to the public is actually happening. There's a couple different reasons to listen to calls. You can listen to calls to help improve a good intaker to a great intaker. You can listen to calls to help take a bad intaker or a new intaker to a good intaker. But there's also some very revealing things that you find on calls. I've, at this point, within a year, we've probably fired 20 people or more, 20 intakers or more, just from what they said on a call. I remember one time we had a call where an intaker was, you know, and said they were coming from a different company, a completely different industry. So they were obviously doing two-time work. There's intakers that will just completely say wrong things or illegal things to the client. So you've got to also cover your back when you're listening to these calls. But then, of course, if you are taking a look at the calls in a systematic way, you can use the call score, I call it, as an additional KPI to measure the effectiveness of the intaker. I know we're going to talk about that in a second, but QA should be listening to 20 calls-ish a day and giving feedback sessions to the intakers, bare minimum on a weekly basis per intaker, ideally on like a daily or like every other day basis to the intakers to help take them to the next level. I know I just talked a lot there, Sam.
No, you're good. No, you're good. How many intakers would you say does it take until you need to get a quality assurance person?
I would say as soon as, at first, your supervisor is going to have to wear both hats. If you're at that like 3 to 5, 6 intakers, your supervisor is going to have to wear a couple hats. As soon as you get to a point where the supervisor can't do both of these roles, that's when you need a quality assurance person.
Okay, so just have in mind, I would say it's like probably 3 intakers. As soon as you have 3 intakers, then you need to have an intake supervisor who also does the quality assurance. They're listening in, providing feedback on the calls on an ongoing basis. They're listening and reviewing a minimum of 20 calls daily. And again, I've seen a huge, both me and Eamon have seen a huge disparity between the good intakers, the great intakers, the amazing intakers, the incredible intakers, and the best. And the person who's better than the best, right? I mean, our mind has been blown, right? But somebody who's amazing in our head, and then someone else comes, he blows them out of the water. And we will never be able to know that. And we will never be able to get to that point unless we have somebody coming behind, training, optimizing, listening to the things and how we can, that person could get better and better. And that person who's into self-development and is willing to get better and better is the person who's always going to come out as the top intaker, which is going to drive most of the results for your law firm. And it's going to make a really big difference for your law firm. Really, like the difference between a really good law firm and a bad law firm is just really good intake team. So, and this is key. And then the quality assurance should provide a minimum of 5 feedback sessions daily. Eamon, you want to talk about this?
Yeah, so listening to at least 20 calls, a lot of times the QAs will listen to a call a couple times to make sure they have good notes. And then the feedback sessions, they're actually talking to 5 intakers on a daily basis, looking at areas where they can improve, possibly showing great calls from another intaker to an intaker that could improve to be more like that successful intaker. It's just continuous training and optimizing of the intake team. If you don't do that, you could have a great intaker that's great for 3 months and then tails off and you'll have no idea why. But if you're continuing to hit them with feedback sessions, refreshers, tips, tricks, things like that, they're going to continue to stay engaged. They're going to continue to get better and they're going to continue to sign more clients. So that's why those feedback sessions are super important.
Great. Let's quickly talk about business intelligence, Eamon.
Yeah, so business intelligence, that's where you have those project managers, business analysts, data analysts. That is the team that if you move past the legal funnel into the HubSpot world or the Salesforce world, you want a team that can build, optimize your more advanced CRM. And then you want a team that's going to go look at the data, the long-term data. Like Sam mentioned before, we look at every single data point throughout the workflow, throughout the pipeline of what the law firms we look at. That's what the data team is doing. They're putting that together. They're analyzing it. And then we as leaders can make tactical and strategic decisions about the firm. Where to spend money, where to cut back, you know, when can we expect settlements to come in? All those things are enabled by good data and a business intelligence team that can analyze and present that data in a way that leaders can make decisions on.
And this is what I see as the defining factor and a competitive advantage that the most successful law firms will have, this one, the business intelligence team and decision support systems that would help law firms tap into data to make good decisions. This is something we kind of first saw some time ago, and we're actually building out the internal team to make this a reality internally. So our members slowly will get introduced to this over the rest of the year. And we're like super excited to share this as the one of the first, if not the first, decision support systems for law firms. So let's go ahead and tally up. There's 8 opportunities. Go ahead and check off. Do you have a tiered system where your best intakers are getting the best leads? Do you have new intakers following up on old leads? Do you have intake supervisors and quality assurance? And do you have business intelligence? This one might be a little bit low known number. Don't feel bad. This is, again, very where you want to be. So go ahead and share with us those numbers. The survey is in the poll questions that we have. I'm looking at the answers. I mean, as you guys are, okay, let's go ahead and tally up the 3 sections. So as you guys are giving me the 3rd section, but let's go ahead and tally up your composite score, and let's get the total scores. This will be key for us. Let's see where we are with this. And as you guys are putting that together, let's go through the poll answers. This will be really insightful, and I'll share the results with everybody. There we go. Let's take a look, Eamon. Let's evaluate. All right, here it is. All right, it's not often that law firms can see these kinds of metrics, but let's see where we are. So on average, how many new clients do you sign up per month? There's 37% of us, which is a big chunk, that are signing up less than 5 clients per month. This is, to be frank, is not sustainable at all. I've been there, and I was at a point where I was only signing up 5 clients per month. It's a drag. It makes you, for lack of a better word, hate life, hate what you do. And we want to get you out of this. And it's very, very easy to get out of this. We'll introduce you guys to our program shortly. This, if you're in that, you guys need a program like us to help you get way beyond that. So again, I also include as, you know, 6 to 10, 24 plus 37, that is about 71%. 71%, right? Yeah, 71% or less than 10 clients. I'll be very frank. You guys need a program like My Legal Academy, which will help you not just generate more qualified leads, but help you sign up these qualified leads and turn them to clients. And the best part is setting up the automation systems behind this. So it's automated. Doesn't require you signing up the clients, you know, hiring dedicated intakers, which we'll talk about shortly. And where we want to be is somewhere around here. I would say probably 20, 20 clients or more per month is where we want to be. And it looks like right now we only have about 21% of our attendees who are in there. It makes life much easier when you have an automated law firm that's growing, that's scaling, it's doing its thing. You have amazing people like Eamon who are helping you run it while you're working on the growth part, the business part, the relationship development. If you like the legal, you go focus on that. And we get you to basically work in your desired zone. So this is actually pretty surprising, but also it's a good indication of where we need to be. What's your biggest challenge with intake? I know it's kind of hard to see it right now. Number one is following up consistency. It may not already tell. That just means a lack of automations and workflows.
Yep.
Number two, low conversion rate, lack of everything we pretty much, you know, discussed. The third one is lack of standardized intake scripts. We'll have that. We'll share with you all about that. The next one is handling high call volumes. Amazing. That's a good problem to have. Well, one of our poll questions will be about that, about how we can do it or all the above. So as you can see, every single one of these could be addressed and sorted out. No problem. It usually takes 3 to 6 months to work on these, but all of these are very solvable for sure. Next is very crucial, and there were some questions that came in during the presentation that were about this, is do you have a dedicated intaker? Do you have a dedicated intaker? So let's talk about this. It's very important. So first of all, I'm very happy to see this, that at least 45% of us have a fully dedicated person or team. Amazing. The rest of us is you may have a shared role among staff. This is a big no-no. You do not want to have somebody in your law firm who's also taking on the calls. This is one of the main reasons why you're probably not signing up enough clients. It requires dedication and focus. Somebody dedicated to just signing up clients, following up, you know, doing everything that it takes to get client signups. How do we get around it? I've been, you know, talking about this for many, many years. You know, I first started off with using these virtual receptionist services like Lex Helper and Ruby and all these different services. I realized over time that it's not sustainable. It's much better to have a dedicated, ideally virtual dedicated intakers. And that's where we basically help our members implement. And we also suggest, we don't want you to, unless you really want to, which I don't know that people that really love sustainably doing signing up clients itself. We also don't want you necessarily signing up the clients yourself. We need to get this handed off to dedicated virtual intakers. We have the resources for you about how to hire. How to hire, how you manage them, how to track them, how to create goals for them, how to incentivize them, all that stuff. There's a system to the madness, but that's where we want to be. And Pedro asked, the dedicated intakers should have a legal background. No, they do not need to have a legal background at all. Usually, ideally, they should have some kind of sales background.
Sales job. So yeah, yeah. You want people with sales skills.
Yep. The rest, the legal stuff could be easily trained. That's not an issue at all. Number four, do you currently track your intake metrics? 19%, not at all. 57%, some basic tracking. And then 23% in detail. So a good chunk, looks like about almost 80% of very minimal tracking. So this, again, it's crucial. I cannot stress, me and Eamon cannot stress how important it is to know your numbers when it comes to everything that we talked about today. So a lot of work there. And number five, which part of the intake process needs the most improvement? Following up and nurturing. Again, workflows and CRMs will definitely help with that. Document collection and information collection. There's a lot of stuff that we learned from the intake process that we can help you with when it comes to document collection. This is a big bottleneck for us too, but we learned a lot over the last year. I mean, and also we were bringing AI into the mix that does a lot of this, which is amazing. Scheduling consultations definitely should not be an issue. And then initial phone response times. Again, a lot of the things we discussed today should be able to address those. And there's some other issues. And then we asked, how valuable would a personalized intake optimization process be in your current situation? I'm very happy to see that most people, again, having this attitude of, I could improve things, you know, letting go of the ego and accepting that I could always optimize. And us ourselves, we're obsessed with optimizing. Even we're not, you know, we're not necessarily stuck on 1,000. You know, we have big goals. We just added on 3 more firms in the past couple of months, Eamon. We're replicating these exact systems ourselves. And we're still, you know, we're hungry and we're always looking to optimize everything that we're doing. So let me actually segue to what we have that is perfectly tailored for everything that we discussed today. So what we're doing is today we're offering exclusively for the first 20 lawyers who take decisive action. So we basically have, again, we have a mix of people that are new versus people who have been with us for some time. It's been 5 or 6 years now. I think five or six years. We have a program where I take everything that I currently do inside my own law firms, and we set up, we come and hire implementers that we train and we optimize. And these implementers come and set up all these systems for you. Okay. When it comes to marketing, helping you setting up ads, to when it comes to integrations, the CRM implementation, the hiring, the AI implementation, and a million other things that law firm owners need, all the resources and whatever you think you could possibly imagine, this is exactly what My Legal Academy is. And we're offering an offer for the 155 people that are in here, that if you join our program by Friday, February 28th, you'll get a custom intake script. We will personalize this intake script for you. That's made literally tailored for you to overcome objections, to sign up more clients. We'll also get access to our intake optimization toolkit. There's a lot more to it. These are exclusive resources to streamline intake, boost conversions, and enhance efficiency with proven scripts and follow-ups and AI tools. And we are also waiving the setup fees. When I saw this and our team put the slide together, I'm like, what are you guys doing? Okay. You know, it's part of, you know, trusting our team. All right. Amazing, Mike. Mike says, our firm put down a down payment to secure pricing. We'd like to proceed in this offer. Amazing, Mike. You'll be part of it. Amazing. Very good. All right. So let's do some Q&A questions. Amen. Ted asks, what's the maximum number of questions you use in your qualification intake on your website or ad? As best practices, we ask the minimal contact information not to overwhelm the client and increase conversion rates. All right. So what I'll do, I always have an affinity towards people who stick around with us throughout this. So what I'm going to do, Ted, I'm going to share with you a GPT that I created that's going to help you create these qualification questions. This is amazing. This is one of my own internal tools that I use all the time. Law firm qualified leads GPT. There you go. Knock yourself out. It's going to blow your mind. Enjoy it. And we have about 30 to 35 different GPTs that we custom made for law firms. For every possible imagine, any need you need to write your ad scripts, your UGC video scripts, your qualification questions, your virtual assistant job post generation, creating content, responding back to social media posts, writing your email copies for your automated emails, writing your texts for your automated texts, anything you can possibly imagine. We've created GPTs, again, way ahead of, there's no other program that has such a thing built. You know, you got a link, this link opens up a GPT, you answer usually 3 to 7 questions, and within a second, you'll get all the copy, everything that you possibly need for all these different use cases. And then we have a super GPT called the Marketing GPT, a law firm marketing campaign builder, which is when you're ready to start launching marketing and ads for your law firm. It's one GPT. It's going to help you with like 80% of the work. And then our team comes and helps you set up these systems. It's amazing. All right. Yeah. So a bunch of questions that came in throughout the call. Let us know and we'll answer them for you. Eamon, Ted is asking, what's the best employee monitoring software you suggest? How do we monitor employees? That's the question.
Employee monitoring software?
Yeah. KPIs?
Yeah. KPIs. I mean, we don't use any employee monitoring software. I just look at the KPIs and you can easily tell if people are lacking or slacking on their KPIs, that they're not doing their work.
Yeah. Nothing speaks more volumes than your numbers. You could say whatever you want. You could do whatever you want on your computer. But if at the end of the day and the end of the week and the end of the month, your numbers don't add up, you know, it's very foretelling. Yeah. So KPIs would be probably a better way versus time doctor. All this stuff is, it's, you know, so we like doing sustainable things versus like just monitoring what's on their screen versus how many clients did you sign up? How many documents did you collect? How many demand letters did you file? We're close to monitoring that and we're constantly improving our team. You know, we're constantly cutting out the bottom fat, constantly hiring for every department at all times, et cetera. Mark asked a good question. Is there a resource for benchmarking any of these KPIs? When starting out with KPIs, how am I to know whether that is good or bad number? Otherwise, when it comes to cost per lead, cost per qualified lead, et cetera, further, I imagine different markets perform differently. No? Yes, absolutely. So let me give my intake and then my thoughts and then, Eamon, I want to hear your thoughts. Yes, of course, every market, every practice area has its own benchmarks. So let's just, you know, put that aside. But what we do is you want to have things to compare it to. So usually have a thing called rule of twos. I usually don't like having one intaker because if I have one intaker, I have no idea whether they're good or not. But as soon as I have two, I have somebody to compare them to. So sometimes comparison is a good benchmark, whether it be different intakers, different client sources. So that's one that we look at. Number two is when it comes to your leads and marketing, usually it's very traffic dependent. And again, practice dependent. Usually if you're running ads on Google, you're depending on how saturated and competitive it is, it might be a certain cost per lead versus a different cost per qualified lead. So again, I like to do both and kind of evaluate based on that, what I'm getting. And then I'm looking to optimize each of those. Well, let's just say when it comes to cost per lead, I'm going to refine my creatives to get a lower cost per lead. Then once I do that, then I'm going to go focus on the cost per qualified lead. So that means on the back end, I'm tracking for every lead, for every ad that I'm launching, how is it doing? What's the cost per qualified lead that it's generating? And then after some time, after 30 days, 60 days, I get a baseline of what my cost per qualified lead is per ad. And now I'm evaluating the ads based on the cost per qualified lead. And it's kind of like go for it. And then from there, kind of evaluate as you go. I know it's not the most amazing answer. Maybe Eamon, your answer would be better than mine. How do you consider benchmarks when it comes to KPIs?
So if you're just starting to track the KPIs, you probably can know automatically that you need to improve them. The best way to do it is for the intaker KPIs is to really analyze what your top performers are doing and then see how much time of the day is that going to actually take somebody to do. So if a top performer is making 60 calls a day, talking to 10 people for an average talk time of 10 minutes, they're really only working for around 2 hours, maybe a little bit more in the day. What are they doing for those other 6 hours? So that is like the beginner way to look at it. How much time of their day is going to actually, how much time of the day are the what they're producing KPI wise going to actually take up? So that's the first way I would start benchmarking it. And then like Sam said, as you grow your team, as you start to get more data, as you start to see the successful people doing whatever job, then you can start to use the KPIs that those people are producing and move those KPIs into more of the benchmark while continuing to push those people to get even better. So that's kind of I hope that answered the question.
Start with a baseline and then we see what we can optimize and we improve every aspect of it until being, but it just, I also hear it's like a lot of videos, you need to be at this number. Well, it depends. Again, the market, the practice type, et cetera. So sometimes, people push the agenda too much. Depends. Nicole asked, I think somebody already asked this, but 3 calls discussed earlier. It doesn't mean phone calls, but texts and emails. No, we just mean phone calls. On top of that, you're also going to have texts and emails on top of that. But for the sake of 80/20ing what the things that move the needle the most, we're talking about phone calls. But you also need to right away send a text as soon as the lead becomes a lead, which is one of the check marks that we checked off in the beginning with ideally, if you're trying to get them booked with a booking link. Tony asks, what text messaging software? And you see, Eamon is already working, he's always working. Good shit done. Tony asks, what text messaging software do you use? We automate text messages and emails through Lawmatics, but it doesn't have the automatic confirm appointment stop text options. So I've heard good things about Lawmatics. If you're using it, amazing, keep at it, use more of it. Stop texts, I'm pretty sure Lawmatics should have the first text should have a TCPA, reply stop to not receive these texts. Make sure you have that, by the way, to make sure you're TCPA compliant. Appointments. I mean, you want to talk about this?
Yeah, for appointments, I mean, if you could literally just set up a free Calendly link for each intaker. If you have several intakers and you want to pay for Calendly, then you could set up a round robin meeting link. But Calendly is a good place to start if you don't have anything native in whatever CRM you're using. HubSpot has native booking links.
Yeah. April asks, I want to get your thoughts on using Airtable for case management. Have you worked with it before? And do you think it's an effective tool for organizing and tracking cases? Usually with your case management, first level is look to find case management softwares that are for your practice type. That'll be the most optimized thing to do. So let's just say, there are certain CRMs that are made for immigration. There are certain CRMs that are made for personal injury. So ideally, that should be the first thing. If not, then I would look for law firm solutions. Then if not, if somehow those don't scratch your itch, then possibly the Mondays, the Airtables, the other, project management solutions like Airtable. Yeah, I have a feeling, April, you probably saw somebody in a Facebook group who said, oh, I built up my automation in Airtable. It's amazing. And now you're wondering whether it works for you. That person probably spent a lot of time just setting it up. If you can somehow get your hands on it and they're in the same practice type as you and they're able to give it to you, amazing. You know, go for it. If not, if you have to build it from scratch yourself and you got to figure it out yourself, no way, Jose. Move on to something that you can get help setting up that's made tailored for you, either for your practice type or at least for law firms, versus a blank slate of canvas that you have to build yourself. It's a lot of work. So ideally not. Angela asked the question, Amina asked you, can you recommend a quality bilingual comprehensive 24/7 intake service for solo for PR practitioners in South Carolina? So Angela, first of all, you're not going to have a 24/7 intake service from the beginning because you need to make sure that they're dedicated intakers. So there's people that you hire full time for you. So no shared services. So there's no 24/7 service that you should sign up for. No intaker that's full time, works 8 hours a day. So you'll have, you know, you'll cover that. Where we have a couple of solutions, but I want to save those for our members. You know, once you join a program, we're helping you set up your intake. And now we need to go hire dedicated intakers. We'll make those introductions for you to go set that up. So I'm going to save that for our members. But just know, again, avoid the 24/7 services. Maybe sometimes you could have that as a supplement. You could supplement your, let's just say, calls after 9 p.m. until 5 or 6 in the morning. Maybe you could have those up to a certain point. Sometimes you may even have another dedicated intake just for those calls, but that's probably beyond most of us.
I've worked with several of those services. They're never good because they don't treat it like it's their company. You're just another client to them. So they're not going to treat those calls the way somebody on your team would treat those calls.
Yeah. The follow-ups, the tracking they need to do, the incentives that you need to build up. You can't do all these things, all these different levers. So yeah, none of those, it's not ideal at all. Francis says, I have Clio Manage and Clio Grow and then all to work for Trademark. Does that work? Yes. Just the only issue that I have, Clio Manage is good. Clio Grow, not so good. Yeah. Amen. You want to talk about Clio Grow?
I mean, I personally don't like having two systems, one for leads coming in and then one for actually working the cases. I prefer to have one CRM that does everything. We've worked with some law firms that use Clio Grow and Clio Manage, and they can't get the full funnel data that, you know, we believe is necessary to make the best decisions. But if you are using Clio Manage and Clio Grow, I think there are definitely worse options out there. And, you know, if you're looking to make the jump eventually into like a full funnel CRM like HubSpot or Salesforce or something like that, Clio Manage and Clio Grow are a good stepping stone to get there.
Charles, for PI case management, there's only two you should probably look at, CasePeer and FileVine. That might be a third one, potentially if somebody wants to put it in the chat, but those two are probably the top two for PI. CasePeer is made specifically for PI. FileVine is very robust, requires a lot of implementation. Just make sure to get an implementer. Don't sign up for it unless if you have an implementer that could set it up for you. I've seen a lot of people who sign up for these services, but just don't have an implementer and they get stuck. Yeah. Guarda asks, what program do you recommend that has a CRM and case management all in one? Is there such a solution, Eamon? I don't think so.
You can do it in HubSpot. You can do it in Salesforce. Salesforce has two different ones that are called AdvoLogix and Lidify. And then HubSpot, you do need to have somebody who's going to be able to customize the deals to fit your law firm, but you can do it in HubSpot. But if you want to have everything all in one, it's going to take those implementers that Sam's talking about. And it's going to take your time to be able to communicate the vision to the implementers. So just keep that in mind.
The implementation is key, not which tool. Have that in mind. A lot of people fall into the trap. It's like trying to find the best tool, but it's not about the best tool. It's about which one do you have the best chance of implementing. So Salesforce, HubSpot, FileVine, these ones, if you don't have the implementers, it doesn't mean anything. It would not be an ideal thing. Again, our rule of thumb with tools, if you use it, it's worth it. If you don't use it, it's not worth it. That kind of falls into this. You can have the best tool in the world, but just don't use it. Or you don't have to take advantage of all the capabilities, but if you don't use it to the way it's meant to be used, then it's not a good tool. My case, Brandon asks, the notes that I have about my case and I've over the years collected insights is, it says popular and versatile, good for various practice types. So probably good enough, I would say. But everybody has different tastes. You know, you might want to get a demo with a couple of people a couple of these softwares, the UI, whether you and your team is comfortable with it is probably key. The UI, the user interface is really important. And Charles asks, what are your thoughts about Go High Level CRM for personal injury? Yes. So Go High Level is the most popular CRM in the world. Not outside of Salesforce and HubSpot. I would say Go High Level is probably the biggest up and coming CRM. And they offer a white label solution that we created for law firms. We did this about 3-4 years ago. We built all the resources, the onboarding, the implementers, all the workflows already made. And we have all that solution systematized. So that as soon as you join, we come and set up Go High Level, AKA Legal Funnel CRM for you. And it works out, you know, especially for like, if you don't have too many integrators, it's great. It's a mobile app. There's dashboards. There's everything you possibly need. Can OpenFunnel integrate with Go High Level? Yes, absolutely. Everything you could possibly imagine. These tools, we don't make recommendations unless if they have integrations. So there are some certain tools that don't have integrations. Well, I would never recommend it because I know how crucial integrations are. Integration just means two tools being connected with each other. So yes, all these tools that we're talking about, OpenFunnel, Legal Funnel CRM, HubSpot, all this stuff is talking to each other. It needs to talk to each other. And yes, our Legal Funnel is a customized version of Go High Level. Yes. Zeljka says, what do you think of FallOne and LeadDocket? Is Go High Level something that could be used with these two? So again, you're going to have a lead management CRM and you're going to have a case management CRM. So FallOne and LeadDocket are usually, FallOne is a case management, LeadDocket and Legal Funnel CRM and Go High Level are lead management. Zoho for personal injury. Again, unless if you have an implementer, it's the third tier. It's not a law firm, you know, automation and project management tool. So only if you have an implementer who can give you, you know, already a setup system that's applied for your law firm, sure, then I would say, okay, go for it. But if not, if you have to build it from scratch, forget about it. Forget about it, right, Eamon? Can you give us one forget about it?
One forget about it CRM?
No, just saying forget about it.
Forget about it.
Francis asks, what telephone solution would you recommend? Because I have some team members who are offshore. We talked about this in our little worksheet on page one. OpenFunnel, if you're less than 5 integrators, and Alloware, if you're 5 or more integrators. That's the short answer. We've been through, me and Eamon, been through the pains of the RingCentral, the doll pads, and all that stuff. Oh man, it was a pain. What else? Let's do a couple more questions. It's been amazing. Good amount of turnout. Again, if you haven't already, make sure to book a call to speak to us. You have nothing to lose. Worst comes to worst, we evaluate things for you. We give you some insights. You get into our system, but I never seen us waiving our setup fees. So I think, again, because we have our team to thank for that. Take advantage of that. And let's do a couple of more questions and we'll wrap it up. Can we use Go High Level as case management CRM as well? No, Charles, you don't want to do that. It's not meant for that. Only use GHL for lead management. Rafael asks, security measures for remote integrators to prevent them stealing cases. It doesn't happen. Doesn't happen as short as that. You know, usually where you hire from matters. Usually they're being screened. They're going through a training process and background checks sometimes and all that stuff. So, you know, it's not like a random person off the street that these VA services offer people for. And also it's like, yeah, it doesn't happen. It's a short answer. Unless if you're mean and you treat them bad, then they could turn bad against you. So just be a good person. Give them trust, give people trust, you know, be a good person. You will see that you will get the same back, right? Amen. And respect is key.
Yeah, absolutely. You can also, in most CRMs, limit who can download information and things like that. And then if you are actively following up with your clients and talking to them and keeping in good communication, if another law firm reaches out and tries to sign them or steal them or whatever the case may be, they're going to let you know first. And that's really the best way to keep your clients yours.
Amazing. All right. Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. Happy birthday to Eamon. And thank you for doing this, Eamon. We'll see more of Eamon inside of our program. Appreciate you, Eamon. Thanks for everything you do. And I appreciate our entire team. We have about 25 to 30 team members inside of My Legal Academy, from Andre, our COO, to Bridget, who's leading our client success team, to 20 others who are helping our lawyers on a day-to-day basis. I literally appreciate every single one of you. Sometimes I get the credit because I'm the face, but I don't do nearly as much as work as our entire team. They're grinding really hard. There's a lot, it's not an easy company to run at all because there's a lot of moving parts. a lot of different things that we're thinking about, a lot of different ways that we're trying to provide value, trying to consolidate all that, systematize it, make this happen is not easy. So I appreciate you, Andre. I appreciate you, Bridget, and the rest of our team. God bless every single one of you, and appreciate every single one of you as well. Have an amazing rest of your Wednesday, and we'll see you soon, and hopefully see you inside of our program. Take care.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.